Okay, thank you. And thank you, sweetheart. I'm glad we're still friends. Is it working up there? My RGB1, I think it is. Ah, there. Okay. So, and next week, I am the music leader and Jolene is the speaker, so you guys are going to be sick of us by next Sunday. Okay. Talking to God when things go wrong, based partly on the conversation Elijah has with God after his Mount Carmel experience. But about two-thirds of my message is backstory before we get there. So here's the summary of the message. When things go wrong, what can go wrong? When do things go wrong? Why do things go wrong? Who do you talk to? What can you say to God? What can God say to you? The charmed life of Ted Bale. Okay. Status. I was born April 16, 1954. That makes me 62 years old. Please remember April 16 for the presents you'll be getting me next April. Marital status, happily married for 37 years. Family status, I have two wonderful children. Well, they're adults now, but they'll always be my kids. Employment status, it's interesting. I've always had really good jobs. I've had interesting work. I've always been nice people. There always have been nice people that I've worked with. And I've liked all my bosses. And it's very rare that there was somebody I didn't get along with. But it always worked out. And I always got a pretty good pay, too. And so it allowed me to support my family, retire at 60. And there's the jobs. I was a medical lab technician for 3 years, chemical engineer for 26 years, software engineer for 5 years. I was a shelf stalker at Dollarama for 4 months. Now, that sort of looks out of place, and you think there is something that went wrong in Ted's life. The story here, I was 58 years old. I was laid off for the third time in my career. And my plan was to retire at 60. And I said, well, realistically, 58-year-old engineer, nobody is going to hire me. So I would like to do something, and there was a Dollarama that opened up, and I got a job there. And it was a really very good experience. I really liked the boss. It was a different kind of work, really different. Different types of people that I had worked with. I enjoyed it. And the funny thing was, or the interesting thing was, it was a minimum wage job. And Jolene had a job, a half-time job, a little bit over minimum wage, and we still made ends meet. We didn't have any debts, we had no mortgage, no credit card debt, no line of credit, no car payments, nothing. So we could make ends meet. And then I'd been there 4 months, and a recruiter phoned me up and said, well, there's this engineering job at Plasco, and looking at your resume on LinkedIn, it looks like it'd be a fit. So I hummed and hawed, and I took the job, and I worked there till I was 60. And, you know, in retrospect, maybe I should have stayed at Dollarama, but anyway, that's another story. Okay, some more stuff about me. Health status is pretty good. Like I said, I'm 62. I'm on blood pressure medication and cholesterol medication, which, now mind you, just about everybody I talk to my age, they're on blood pressure or they're on cholesterol. So, church status. I go to Pine Grove Bible Church. I've been going here for 26 years, and I love this church. I love the people in this church. What are some of the things I like about the church? There's a variety of teachers here. We've been looking for a pastor for 4 years and still no results, so you get to hear a different speaker every week. So if you don't like me, There'll be somebody else speaking next week. You'll like Jolene for sure. The music, I really like the music. I get to participate in the music. Sort of a dream that I was a rock star or that. And we have different music leaders. So if you don't like Paul's music leader, there'll be a different one next week, mine. You'll like mine. Hosting, we have a different host every week. We have a board of deacons at the church. I was a deacon for 16 years. I took a year or two sabbatical, maybe it was 3 or 4 year sabbatical. Then when I retired, I decided I wanted to come back. It's great working as a deacon. You get to do project things, which I really liked. It's a group of people you work with. I really like all the deacons that I work with. We get along well together. We get stuff done. Bible study groups, where Jolene and I have been at a Bible study for a long time at Pine Grove. It's a great group of people. We meet together. We have fellowship. Sometimes we have barbecues. We pray for each other. We study the Bible. We discuss things. We disagree on subjects sometimes too, but we're all still friends. Sometimes we have extracurricular activities. We'll go to a movie or we went to the Messiah one time. So it's just great. Breakfast. I love breakfast. And I only had one this year, but plenty of more next year. Men's breakfast here sometimes. And a lot of you guys, I like to go out to breakfast, and usually once a week, sometimes more, I'll go out to breakfast with somebody. It's on me too. So if you're a guy and you haven't gone out, if I've missed you and you'd like to go out for breakfast with me, let me know. We can go out. If you're a girl, you can ask me and I'll bring Jolene along. So, okay. But it's the people, I love being with people. I love talking with people. I love getting to know their story, letting them know my story. And that's what Pine Grove is all about for me, anyway. And one thing I noticed about Pine Grove, there's a very high participation rate among the people that come to Pine Grove. They don't just, a lot of us, most of us just don't come and sit in pews. We do things. We do service activities, teach Sunday school, do the coffee, do the hosting, a whole myriad of things. So the big question is, why the charmed life? Why have I had a charmed life? Why do things go right so often? And I was thinking about that, and Jolene mentioned that, I didn't know she was going to mention this, but when I was 14 years old, I went to Northland Bible Camp, and I accepted Jesus as my Savior. So I admitted I was a sinner, believed that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, and committed to follow Jesus and his teaching. And I've been thinking about this quite a bit this week. That was the most important decision I've ever made. Good decision. Second most important was marrying Jolene. Very good decision, too. Hope you agree. Every aspect of my life, it has impacted in a positive manner. And I was just thinking about that this week. I could write a whole sermon on how it's accepting Jesus as my Savior has had a positive aspect and positive impact on my life. We'll just have to leave it at that. And by the way, if you don't know what I'm talking about when you say accepting Jesus as your Savior, please come and ask me, ask Jolene, ask Paul, ask Marcia. But still, things can go wrong. There's no teaching in the Bible that says things are always going to go good for you just because you've accepted Jesus as your Savior. As a matter of fact, the teaching is that sometimes things go wrong. So both in my charmed life, sometimes things have gone wrong. And in the Bible, there's numerous examples of things going wrong. So what can go wrong? There can be health problems. You know, sometimes there's people are born with genetic defects. They be physical, mental, psychological. Cancer. 39.6% of people in Canada will be diagnosed with cancer in their lifetime. Hepatitis C. 15% of baby boomers have hepatitis C. That's by generation. Heart disease, number one cause of death in Canada, in the world. And in the Bible, there's lots of examples of health problems. There was a Syrian general that had leprosy. David's child from Bathsheba died. We'll talk about that a little bit later. Apostle Paul has some physical condition. Don't know what it is. In the gospel, there was a man born blind. There was a man who couldn't walk. There was a woman who had an issue of blood. Then there's mental health problems. There's depression, mental illness. 20% of Canadians will suffer from some form of mental illness in their lifetime. Dementia. My mother had dementia. And it's a very, very difficult. Very difficult for the people, the loved ones of the person with dementia. There was one silver lining in the cloud of dementia for my mother. My mother and my father were separated for 10 or 15 years before they passed away. When my mother got dementia, they became friends again because she couldn't remember what the grievances were she had against my dad. Manic depression, autism. Then there's relationship problems. Divorce. 40.7% of marriages in Canada end in divorce. There can be falling out between friends. There's a biblical example of that. Paul and Barnabas, they had a falling out. They went their separate ways. There can be friction between husband and wife. But not between Jolene and I, between parents and their children, and between friends. There can be workplace relationship issues. There can be sexual harassment. There can be dysfunctional workplaces. There can be bullying. And usually you think of bullying in school, like in public school and high school, but sadly, in some of my work experiences, I've seen bullying in the workplace. And it's a really tragic thing. And you would hope that people would have grown up by this point, but sometimes it's not the case. And sometimes the bullying just escalates and escalates until there's some very terrible consequences. Financial problems. It could be job loss. That happened to me 3 times. There can be debt problems. I was just talking to Franz. We were just talking about this, Franz, before the service today. People really, really in debt and having a hard time getting out of it. Things stolen from you. There can be natural disasters. There can be spiritual issues. It can be church splits. Yeah, it happens sometimes. There can be a loss of faith, the crisis of your confidence. Backsliding, you know, going backwards instead of making progress. There can be a lack of fellowship. And the best example of things going wrong for a person is the book of Job in the Bible. The whole book of Job is about how things go wrong for him. He had health issues. He had a very painful, discomforting skin disease. I think he had mental health issues. I think he was really depressed about the predicament he was in. He had relationship issues. There was friction between him and his wife and him and his friends. He had financial issues. He lost everything. He lost, all his worldly possessions. And he had spiritual issues. I think he had a spiritual crisis. So why do things go wrong? There's lots of examples that are given. I can think of 3 examples that are really quite common that people will give. capitalism. You know, the 19th century philosopher Karl Marx, all the world's problems, poverty, war, inequities, everything is due to capitalism. Another one, you could just lay it on the parents, you know. The parents didn't raise the kids right, that's why there's problems. Schools didn't teach right, that's what the problems are. But the Bible is very clear. We've rebelled against God. And this is the root cause of why things go wrong. And it's not really 100% satisfying because we like a cause and effect relationship between things. But so what are some possible causes? One is sin. And there's the example of King David and Bathsheba. King David had an adulterous affair with Bathsheba. He tried to cover it up. He committed murder. As a result, the baby that was born died. And this is a direct cause and effect. It's explained very well in the Bible. And it's an interesting thing to notice here. One person's sin can cause a bad thing to happen in somebody else's life. But I want to give you one great big caution here. If you see something going bad in somebody's life, be very, very careful to make a judgment and say it's because of some sin in your life. It's probably better just to pray for that person. Bad behavior, bad decisions. Sometimes these can cause bad things to happen to you. I'm not going to call these sins because that's controversial, but there can be definitely bad behaviors. For example, smoking. That's a behavior that can cause lung disease, emphysema. Dangerous driving. It can cause it can cause car accidents, death, financial consequences, fines, increased insurance. I have two occasions, no, one with driving, one with parking that caused me a lot of pain. One time, I think I was driving Kevin to a soccer game, and there was a light that was turning orange, and I just scooted through, and it turned red. And there was one of those pesky cameras, and I always, always get the mail. For one day, I don't know why, Jolene got the mail. And I get this phone call at work. And oh, by the way, I put the car in Jolene's name. So the letter comes, "Dear Jolene Bale, you have been caught driving through a red light." And there was a picture of the car with a close-up of the license plate. "You have the privilege of, by pleading guilty, paying up the $75 fine." I get this call at work. Ted, red light. So, and I'm hearing about that to this day. The other thing, we were going to, we're in the Little Italy, where we're going for supper with Jolene and her mom and her brother. So I said, "I'll drop you guys off, and I'll go to the park the car." So I went to a municipal lot, and there was nobody there. And I thought, "I'm not going to put any money in the meter." So when I go to get the car, wouldn't you know it, there's a ticket on the windshield. So I said, "I'm just going to take the ticket. I'm just going to pay it." Jolie never looks at the MasterCard safe, but never looks at it. So she looked at it the one time, and I've been hearing about that ever since, too. So those are two things about driving that caused me bad things to happen to me. Sexual promiscuity, drug use, those can lead to numerous bad things, to diseases, to broken relationships, jealousy can lead to broken relationships, bad feelings. Gambling, can lead to the financial consequences. Relationships can be destroyed. How about dealing drugs? It's amazing. In Ottawa, I think almost every single murder that happens has to do with drug dealing. It's really, really sad to see a young person, you know, 20, 22 years old, follow down that path, and it always, always ends badly. Sometimes there's just, well, they call them acts of God. I like to call them just natural disasters. I don't know why they're called acts of God, maybe to try to blame God. The one in Fort McMurray, that big forest fire, that was just something that went wrong for a lot of people. Sometimes we just don't know why things go wrong. And that is very frustrating, because you're probably like me, you like to see a direct cause and relationship between when things happen. And when something goes wrong, we like to know why it went wrong. And other than the explanation that we talked about, that we rebelled against God, that might be the only reason we know that there's sin in the world and things go wrong sometimes. And it's not 100% satisfying. And you could have a whole message dealing with this question. It's beyond the scope of my message and beyond the scope of what I'm able to talk on. And there's many books written on this. And in the Alpha Course, a course for people that are thinking about Christianity searching, it's a small book, but it's a really great book called Searching Issues, and it's the 7 most common questions raised in the Alpha Course. And the very first question in the book is, why does God allow suffering? Why do bad things happen to good people? So anyway, that's a great book. It's a very short read. I could lend it to you if you want. But when things go wrong, who do we talk to? Well, first you talk to yourself, you think about it. Maybe it's a professional you talk to. You could talk to a physician if it's a, you know, a physical issue. Psychologist if it's a mental health issue. Maybe a financial advisor if it's a monetary issue. A lawyer if it's a legal issue. Maybe an engineer if a bridge falls down or something. Family member, especially a spouse. Friends. Oh, and you can talk to God. And, you know, sometimes the funny thing is, sometimes the only time we talk to God is when things go wrong. That's really bad, but that's what happens, that the only time that you talk to God is when things go wrong. And one thing to remember when we're talking to God, God is a friend, and we talk to God as a friend. A friend will listen. And Don Buckingham, in his message last week, he spoke to us, and one of the things he mentioned is the importance to listen for God talking to us. And I was thinking, you know, when I'm with somebody and they're doing all the talking and just talking about themselves, it can be really annoying sometimes. And I said to Don, I wonder if God is annoyed when we're just talking to him, asking for this and asking for that, and not sitting and saying why this, why that, but not taking the time to listen. Just a thought. With a friend, you can say exactly what's on your heart and your mind. A friend is going to separate the wheat from the chaff. For example, if I think somebody's a jerk, if somebody's not my friend, I'm not going to say, you know, so-and-so, I think he's a jerk. But if I have a really good friend, you know, I think somebody's a jerk. You know, the friend might say to me, well, you know, Ted, you probably don't know that person that well. You don't know what they're going through. I think they've been having a hard time, and if you were in their shoes, you'd be more, you know, that'd be a really, a friend giving some really good advice. A friend won't put you down. A friend wants what's best for you. A friend will tell you if you're wrong or if you're going to do something stupid. I remember I was reading on the internet, on the news, Justin Bieber was racing his automobile down a residential area. Now, that's a really stupid thing to do. And he had a whole entourage around him. Not one of those people said, Justin, that is a really stupid, stupid thing to do. So they weren't friends at all. A friend will tell you if you're going to do a stupid thing. And a friend can give you good advice. So, I want to talk about, here we're getting to Elijah. So, here is the context. Israel has a bad king, Ahab. And the king has a bad wife, Jezebel. And the people are doing bad things. They're worshiping false gods. And there is a drought and a famine in the land. Direct cause and effect relationship. So, Elijah is on Mount Carmel. And there's Elijah, there's the prophets of Baal, and there's a bunch of people. Okay, so, then Elijah said to the people, I am the only one of the Lord's prophets left, but Baal has 450 prophets. Get two bulls for us. Let Baal's prophets choose one for themselves. Let them cut them into pieces and put them on the wood, but not set fire to them. I will prepare the other bull and put it on the wood, but not set fire. Then you call on the name of your God, and I will call on the Lord. The God who answers by fire, he goes first. Okay, so the prophets of Baal go first. Okay. Then they called on the name of Baal. From morning till noon, Baal answer us, they shouted. But there was no response, no answer. And they danced around the altar they made. And I think it goes on to say they even cut themselves, so they were bleeding. So, Elijah. At noon, Elijah began to taunt them. Shout louder, he said. Surely he's a god. Perhaps he is deep in thought, or busy, or traveling. Maybe he is sleeping, and he must be awakened. Elijah's having a great time. Like, I mean, I think there's a sense of humor in this story. So then it's Elijah's turn. So Elijah prays to God, answer me, Lord, so the people will know that you, Lord, are God, and that you are turning their hearts back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and burned up the sacrifice, the wood, the stones, the soil, and also licked up the water in the trench. So Elijah had a mountaintop experience, a great experience. And it's interesting. Sometimes things go wrong for us after we have a great mountaintop experience. It was literally a mountaintop experience. He was on Mount Carmel. So things start to go bad for Elijah. So Jezebel, you know, that's the bad queen, sent a message to Elijah to say, may the gods deal with me, but ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make you dead. Elijah was afraid, and he ran for his life. So things have gone from great to terrible. And so we mentioned that. After a really good experience, you can have a really bad experience. So Elijah talks to God about it. I've had enough, Lord. Take my life. I'm no better than my ancestors. I have been very zealous for you, Lord. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, put your prophets to death with the sword. I'm the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me. So God answers Elijah. Get up and eat. The journey's too much for you. Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass you by. I reserved 7,000 in Israel, all who've not bowed the knee to Baal and whose mouths have not kissed him. So Elijah says to God, I'm discouraged. I'm feeling sorry for myself. I'm the only one left faithful to you. Please just let me die. He doesn't say this, but I've forgotten how you showed the power just the other day on Mount Carmel. So how does God answer Elijah? He says, things aren't so bad. I still have work for you to do. I'll show you my power. I will encourage you. And he also says, get some rest. And it was interesting. I was talking to Janet Buckingham when she spoke 2 weeks ago. I was talking to her about this passage, and she said maybe Elijah was burned out. Maybe he just was suffering from burnout. I don't know. Anyway, we'll look at some other examples. And notice this. Notice how Elijah's talking to God. He's talking to him like a friend. He's talking to God exactly how he feels. And God is giving him very good answers. When Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane before the crucifixion, he was very troubled. A bad thing was coming, and he didn't want to go through it. He said, Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done. There could be a bad thing coming, and the natural thing for you to do is ask God, please, God, don't make me go through it. Maybe God's answer is, I'll take you from it. The answer could be, it's my will. In Luke, Okay. What about when we are sick? If you're sick, the natural thing to ask is, God, please make me better. And in the Bible, we're admonished to pray for people who are sick, especially the elders. And it says in the book of James, the elders are to pray for people who are sick. It's a very biblical thing to do. And here's an example of somebody talking to God. Well, Jesus was in one of the towns. A man came along who was covered with leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he fell to his face to the ground and begged, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And Jesus honored his request. So God might provide healing, but it's not. And then he might not. Yeah, more next week. I didn't want to say anymore. That's part of Jolene's. She always reads through my sermons before I give them. So then I had to take some stuff out. So, by the way, if you don't like my message, it's Jolene's fault. She reads them but approves them. Okay. Sometimes there's somebody we don't like. You know, and somebody you really don't like, somebody that's doing bad things to you. And here's somebody in the book of Psalms. There was some people, some enemies that he really didn't like, and here's what he said to God. Let death take my enemies by surprise. Let them go down alive to the realm of the dead. Boy, now that's really a good prayer for one of your enemies. And that's a very natural thing to feel and to say. I don't know how God answered this prayer, but we know that Jesus did say, love your enemies. So, okay. Two examples from my own life. My first year away from home, I went away to university, and things went really, really wrong. They went really bad. Everything went bad. Friendships, my mental health, academically. And the funny thing was, I became a Christian when I was 14. I had a fabulous high school experience, just great. High school, I did well, moderately well academically. I had great friends, a great time, a mountaintop experience. My high school was a mountaintop experience. First year away, after high school, university, catastrophe. bad things happened. I said to God, why did this happen? I don't want it to happen again. God answered me, you need to have Christian fellowship. Simple as that. Are you ever in the position where there's somebody around you, a friend, an acquaintance, a workplace person that is annoying you? Well, I sort of had that with my dad. My mom and my dad had separated, and it's not pretty, and there was a lot of friction, and my dad wanted me to take sides, his side against my mom, and I said, no, I'm going to be neutral. And it just got so bad that I said, we weren't talking, and I said to Jolene, well, you know, I'm never going to talk to my dad again unless I, unless my first words I have to hear from my dad is, I'm sorry. My prayer was, Lord, please change my dad. Please change my dad. And God answered. And it's really funny, God answered me in French. Jolene and I were at the service, on a Good Friday, Francophone service, and it had seven preachers. Don Buckingham was one of them, and on the seven sayings of Christ on the cross. And the guy that had, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing, he said, and his gist of his message was, who was Christ forgiving? Was he forgiving the soldiers for crucifying him? No. Was he saying, forgive the Jewish leaders and the Jewish people who said, crucify him? He says, no. He was forgiving you and you and you. It's all you who put Christ on the cross, and he's asking for your forgiveness. Oh, wow. And they at the Haitian church, sometimes they speak with a little bit more emotion than us. But then, so Jolene and I, afterwards, at home, always after church, we like to discuss, you know, debrief, discuss the message. And Jolene said to me, she said, you know, Ted, I was thinking about what that guy said. And he said, maybe you should just forgive your dad. And I did. And God's answer was, you have to change. Don't worry about your dad changing. So I did forgive my dad, and we sort of reconciled. He never said he's sorry. He never, never said, I'm sorry. But when he died, we had reconciled. And I'm thinking, if that hadn't happened, if my father had passed away and it had not been reconciled, it would have been just a terrible thing. So sometimes you pray, God, please change that person. They're annoying me. God's answer, he might change them. More likely, he'll say, you're going to have to change. So, summary of my message. What can go wrong? Anything. When do things go wrong? Anytime. Why do things go wrong? Sometimes we know, sometimes we don't. Who can we talk to? Lots of people, but we should be talking to God. How do you talk to God? Like a friend. What can you say to God? Anything that's on your heart. What can God say to you? Many things, but always as a friend. Thank you.